the Gospel of John, where Jesus spoke to Martha and Mary and said to them, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life. Let's read here in John 11 and verse number 1. John chapter 11 and verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Albeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Then Jesus said unto her, and this is the key verse to the entire chapter and the entire story, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, Jesus used the term, I am the resurrection. He was connecting with the fact that Moses, if you remember, was on the backside of the wilderness taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And he saw a bush that was on fire. It was burning, but it wasn't burning up. And he said, I'm going to turn aside and see what's going on here. This bush is on fire, but not burning up. And he turns aside, and a voice speaks to him out of that burning bush and tells him, Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. And the Lord spoke to him concerning his call to be the deliverer for all of Israel. And Moses said, well, if I'm the one that's to go in and to deliver my people, who am I going to say has sent me? Who can I say that's given me the authority to come and to deliver my people? And the Lord said, just tell them, I am that I am hath sent you. He was describing the fact that the word, the phrase there, "I am that it, that I am," is just from the Hebrew word that just means "I am the God who consists." And I consist of myself. There's nothing else that gives me power or authority other than myself. I am the self-existent one is really what that phrase means. And he was saying to him, I'm the one, I am the God who gives you the power and the authority to go in and to deliver Israel. Now John is speaking about Jesus, and he does this on several places in the Gospel of John, where he identifies Jesus not just as a good teacher or a prophet, but John is revealing Jesus as the Son of God. He is revealing him as the deity, the deliverer, the Savior. He says this in many places. John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. John 8 and 12, he said, I am the light of the world. John 10 and 7, he says, I am the door of the sheep. John 10 and 11, he says, I'm the good shepherd. In John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 15, I am the true vine. And here in our text, in John 11, he says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Praise God. I'm not just your friend who comes to spend the night in your house and you have fed me meals. I am not just a common man that just that you have known and we have been friends and we have loved one another. I mean, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were dearest of friends and companions with Jesus. But this day, Jesus is saying, I'm not just your friend. I am your God. I am your Savior. I am the resurrection. And I am the life. Amen. This is such a wonderful story. It's one of my favorite gospel stories and that deals with the wonderful truth that Jesus came into the world to bring deliverance and hope and salvation to everyone. Praise God. Just a couple of observations about this text. First of all, you remember the part where Mary and Martha sins for Jesus. They send messengers to Jesus to tell him, your friend, the one you love, your good friend Lazarus is sick. Will you come and help him? They know that Jesus has a reputation for healing the sick and doing great miracles, and so they ask him to come. But in this account, Jesus does not immediately come. You would think that a dear friend would come and meet the immediate need that he had. Here's a couple of observations that I'm making from this story. Number one, God is never in a hurry. God is never in a hurry. He never panics. He never gets disturbed about any situation. He's steady and he's calm in every situation because he is God and he is in control. I know sometimes it does seem like that things are out of control in your world and in your life. I understand that. But when Jesus is in the picture, nothing is out of control. Amen. Remember when he's in the back of the boat asleep and they're in the middle of a storm and the disciples are panicked and trying to save themselves. Master, don't you care that we're about to perish in this storm? And Jesus just speaks the simple words, peace be still, and the storm is calmed, because Jesus is never panicked. He's never in a hurry. My, what a presence that we need in our lives, in our world right now, that's filled with a lot of worry and fear and just a lot of things that are going on in our world these days. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Instead of worry and fear, replace that with prayer and call upon the Lord. Amen. As a matter of fact, let your worries and your fears be a reminder of the faithfulness of God. Let them be a motivator to you to call upon the name of the Lord. Another verse is Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. You're not always going to understand what's going on, but you can know that God is able to help you, and he can move in your situation even when you don't understand all the circumstances that you're dealing with right now. It's interesting to me in this story that the disciples were somewhat confused. They misunderstood what Jesus was saying when he said, well, Lazarus is asleep. And they said, well, Lord, if he's asleep, if you're not feeling well, they just said he was sick. If he's asleep, that's a good thing. He needs some rest. So why would we want to go and wake him up? And then Jesus had to clarify and say, no, he's not physically sleeping. Lazarus is dead. They really didn't fully understand all that was going on in this situation. Neither did Mary or Martha fully understand what was going on. Lord, if you would have been here, if you would have just been here, this problem would not have gotten to this place. He wouldn't have died. We're disappointed, Lord. You didn't come when we wanted you to come. But you know, the Lord is never working or moving on your schedule or my schedule. Amen. And for some of you who are very schedule-oriented and, you know, you like things to fall right in place the way you plan them all out, well, when it comes to your life, everything is not going to be planned. And there's going to be a lot of little situations that are going to come up in your life, and it doesn't fit into your plan or your schedule, and you're going to wonder about it. Lord, what's going on in this situation that I'm in? Well, God has his own timing and his own calendar and his own purpose. Jesus delayed for 2 days. Delayed 2 days. He could have come exactly when he was asked to come, but he waited for 2 days. If he would have come and healed Lazarus before he died, you just tell me what you think. Is it more of a glorious and a powerful testimony that he came after that he had died and raised him from the dead? God always has a plan if things are delayed or the schedule is off and you're wondering, Lord, what's going on? And why are you not working when I want you to work? I think we have to be reminded. This story reminds us of the reality that God doesn't move or work on our own schedule, but however and whenever he does move, he has a purpose for it, and he has a plan in it all. Isaiah said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And God's plan is a greater plan, and he's going to receive the glory and the honor in the situation if you'll just put your trust in the Lord. Amen. It's true. God's ways are always better than our ways. He could have went directly and healed him, but instead he received greater glory and greater honor, and it fulfilled the plan of God for Lazarus to be raised from the dead. Amen. Another interesting thing to me in this story is the fact that when Jesus comes to the tomb of Lazarus and all the multitude of people around, that shortest little verse in the Bible, Jesus wept, is found there in our text in John chapter 11. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Did he weep? A lot of different people that have come up with different opinions about why that Jesus wept. Some believe, well, he was just weeping because they didn't have faith or confidence that he could handle the situation or that he was delayed. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Well, I just believe that he wept because that was his human response to the fact that his friend Lazarus had died, and all of his friends around him were weeping and crying and grieving over the situation. And sometimes a good cry is okay. Amen. David wept. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Jesus himself was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It's okay. It's okay. So there's just a few little observations from this story, but now down to the resurrection of Lazarus, that he's in a tomb, he's in a cave, the Bible says. A stone is rolled in front of the tomb that he's in, and Jesus then begins to groan within himself. And then he begins to start giving some commands. Move the stone out of the way. Lazarus, come forth out of the tomb. The Bible says that he did. He came forth out of the tomb. He's still wrapped in his grave clothes, but he comes out of the tomb. It wasn't too late. As a matter of fact, Martha said, "Lord, it's been 4 days. By now he stinketh. By now his body is beyond. It's decaying, and it's beyond any hope." Nothing is ever beyond God's power. Nothing is beyond hope. Nothing is too far gone. I know that sometimes people get the idea that their life or their problems or their circumstance that they're in, that it could never be restored or never be changed. But nothing is too far gone for God to work and to move. Amen. No one is so deep in their sin and so lost but what they cannot be found and delivered and saved by the power of God. Amen. You might give up on people, but God doesn't give up on people. Amen. Just keep holding on, believing that God can save to the uttermost. He can reach those that are in the depths of their sin. In this situation, Lazarus is already 4 days dead. And maybe to most, even Martha, who believed that he had the power to do something about the situation. But now she's saying it's been 4 days. It's too late. But when it comes to the Lord, who is the resurrection and the life, it is never, never too late. Praise God. Amen. And so to that multitude that day, he confirmed the fact that truly he was deity. Truly he was the Son of God. I am the resurrection and the life. That he has power over death. He has power over the grave. You see, Lazarus was coming out of that tomb and he was going to live for a while longer, but eventually he would die again. His physical body would die. But Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And so we need to be reminded today on this Easter Sunday morning, and that is that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave when he came out of that tomb. Praise God. Hallelujah. We all have an appointment with death, but we need to just know that death is really just a transition. Death is just a moving, a transition. Amen. We understand that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So some of you, like me, you've lost friends and family and loved ones that have passed away, and as soon as they took their last breath in this world, their next breath that they took was a heavenly breath. They were in the presence of the Lord, and they just transitioned from this world into another world. Praise God. Because Jesus came out of the tomb, we can make that move from a natural life to an eternal life, and Christ has made that available to everyone that puts their faith and their trust in the Lord. Amen. Believers, you are instantly transported into the presence of God. When you die in this world, die and your physical body dies, and your spirit keeps on living. The soul of man keeps on living, and you are transported into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Jesus made that available for everyone, whosoever will believe upon the name of the Lord. We don't believe in soul sleep. We don't believe that people are laying out there in the grave and not aware of what's going on. No, their spirit, their soul, immediately is transported into the presence of God. And one day there'll be a resurrection of the body, but that day hasn't come yet. But that day will come. When the believer leaves this world in death, they are instantly in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So we have great hope, don't we? Great confidence and the reality of what the Lord has provided for us. So death is just a transition. Helen Keller, famous person that could not see. And she said that death is nothing more than moving from one room to another. And she said, except for me, of course, because in that next room, I'll be able to see. Praise God. It's just a transition. It's just a change. Billy Graham died in 2018. And he said, before he died, he said, one day you're going to hear that Billy Graham is dead. He said, don't you believe it. I'm going to be more alive than ever. I've just changed my address. That's what it is. Death is a transition for the people of God. We just leave this world and we step into another world. That is our hope. That's the hope of the resurrection of the believer. Praise God. Amen. And I'll just add this as well. I don't believe that if you are concerned about your loved ones when they pass away, that, you know, are they alone in their passing? I know that through this last couple of years, people have been, they spent months all alone and even died alone. And people grieved over the fact that they couldn't be with their family member and they passed away all alone. But let me tell you, for those that are Christians, when you die, you're not alone. You're not alone at all. Luke 16 and 22, it says there was another Lazarus that died. And it came to pass that that when he died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Praise God. Believe what you will, but I believe that when the Christian dies, that his spirit, his soul is escorted from this world into the presence of God. Amen. That angels bear us up into the presence of God. Amen. So death is just a moving. It's just a transition, and you're not going to be alone. And all of this is provided for us through a resurrected Jesus. Amen. And that's the hope that we have. And death is going to be a wonderful reunion. Yes, it is. We're comforted by the fact that we're going to be reunited with our friends and our loved ones. Over the many years that we've been here at First Pentecostal Church, I can go down the list of people who have been a part of this church, but over the years, in the last 27 years, they have passed away. We've stood behind the pulpits and ministered at their services. I don't know, dozens and dozens of them that have left this church and have been caught up into the presence of the Lord. Yes, do we miss them dearly as a part of our church, but we rejoice in the fact that we know that they are with him and that they died with the assurance of the resurrection. And you and I can live our life with that confidence and that assurance of the resurrection of our own physical bodies. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So Jesus that day spoke to Mary and to Martha, and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I have conquered death, hell, and the grave. And then he illustrated it by calling Lazarus out of the tomb. Lazarus, come forth. Some have said that if he didn't call his name, that everyone in the grave would have come out if he would have just said, come forth. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. He comes forth out of the grave, loose him and let him go. And he demonstrated to that great crowd of mourners that were there and to Mary and Martha that he had power over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a wonderful, wonderful hope that we have today. And how do we gain access to this wonderful Jesus? How do we get to know him? How can we enter into all the blessedness of serving him in this life and then the hope that we have after this life? It's only as we come and we confess Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. It's only as we repent of our sins
and ask him to forgive us of our sins, that we can be reconciled unto God and can be born again of the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. And I want you to know today it's not the end. When you die, it's not over. It's not the end. Amen. I've done both. I've had to stand before funeral services where there was no assurance that that person knew God or served the Lord. You talk about difficult. It's awkward. It's a challenge. Try to comfort the family. Try to be a blessing as much as you can to those that are there. But the difference is when you stand up to talk about someone that really got saved and they serve the Lord, it's so, there's so much joy when you can talk about a life lived for Jesus and about someone who has served God and given their life to the Lord, sometimes even many years before, and how they served the Lord down through the years. How wonderful it is to be able to do that. And the Bible says that we are able to comfort one another with these words. There's a great deal of comfort in knowing that if you live, yes, that's wonderful. If you die in the Lord, that's even more wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord for all of eternity. And you can be if you'll turn your heart over to Jesus today. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are the resurrection and the life. Thank you, Lord, that you have provided hope and salvation for whosoever will. And Lord, there may be some here in this service today that they feel so unworthy. They feel so undeserving. But Lord, I know that you have provided forgiveness and salvation for whosoever will. It makes no difference how difficult or how awful that our sin is. Lord, you paid the ultimate price. And your blood, your cleansing, Lord, is enough. It's sufficient for everyone, no matter how far away from you we are. Thank you, Lord, for your saving grace. Thank you, Lord, for your power, Lord, that brought Jesus out of the tomb and today can bring resurrection power to the lives of people who do not know you. Lord, would you save the lost on this Easter Sunday today? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me all over this congregation today? Amen. We've been praying that the Lord would speak to the hearts of people, deal with the hearts of people, and help them to see their need for Jesus in their life. Oh, what a empty life it is. No matter how much you may have going for you, it's an empty life. It does not have Jesus at the center of your life. I just pray that you'll open your heart to the Lord today. At any time now, this altar is open. If you want to pray, you sense your need for the Lord, Jesus has made a way for you to be born again. He has provided salvation. He has provided forgiveness of sins. If you'll call upon the name of the Lord, and I encourage you before you leave this building today to call upon Jesus to make him your Lord, to make him your Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus is still saving the lost. Amen. He's still saving the lost. Hallelujah.